Well, Brother Carlton has an interesting topic to discuss with us. His topic is little children. Little children. Brother Carlton.
Thank you, Brother Tom and Brother Bill, for that prayer. Dearly beloved brethren, it is a pleasure to be with you here in Asilomar. We've been reminded of how many years, it's been 45 years since this convention has taken place down here and all of the different changes that have been made within it, and we can echo some of those. I think Brother Bob Grecki said that he'd been here around 30 years, and I know it's been pretty close to that for Sister Catherine and I to have the privilege of being here. I remember that when I was first invited here, I was invited by Brother Ed Fay, and a lot of the old timers were, we call them old timers, you know, we call ourselves kids yet. But who were here at that time, and we missed them. They served their time for the Lord, and He blessed them in blessing us. And now it's our turn to bless one another, because we have been blessed with God's Word. We bring you the love and greetings of your brethren in Portland. Brother David Bruce will bring you more love as when it's his turn to serve from the platform. And we all want you to know that we're looking forward to seeing every single one of you at our convention. And that is June 22nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th. And that's just about a month away, a little less than a month, in fact. So we want you there. And we expect a good crowd. We expect a great convention again of the Lord's people, and the messages and the love that you will receive there will be just what you've received here. We bring you love also from Angela, our granddaughter, who has been here several times with us, misses it this year because of her work. And also our children always remind me, Dad, please send our love along with you and Mom where you go, and for those who remember us. So we do that. Little children. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, "What was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way?" But they held their peace. For by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. Mark 9, verses 33 and 34. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And he said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Well, brethren, as we consider a subject such as this, and this last phrase, by the way, was taken from Matthew 18, 2-4, when we consider what it is to be a little child, we're taken back quite a ways, most of us, to times gone past, and we know what a little child is like, or should be at least. One of the greatest lessons that Jesus taught was this one. He taught continually about one simple little lesson, the lesson of humility. Have any of you ever been humiliated over some experience that you've had? Or have you been so proud of yourselves that you have had little humility? Well, I know that I've had both experiences in my life. The disciples had come generally from humble circumstances, from the least prominent of conditions, and should have had this lesson of humility thoroughly established in their character. But it wasn't long before ambition and pride began to take sway. Now you might think, and I might think, that this little story of a few of the disciples desiring to be like two, one set on the right hand and one set on the left hand of God, wasn't really very much of a problem. And yet our Lord saw within this instance of their desire to have prominent places in His kingdom an opportunity to teach this great lesson for all of us. The lesson of becoming as a little child. Probably, they, being with their master, witnessed the miracles that he performed. And they were told of the coming glory that they would receive if they would follow him. And they began to take, this began to take its toll. We know it must have been very hard for Peter and James and John, who were the closest with the Lord. And when they had seen the glory, they had been allowed to see the glory that was going to come in the kingdom when they were taken up and when he was transfigured before them. Remember how Peter himself said at that time, he said, "It's good to be here. Let's erect an altar for you and for Moses and for Elijah." Sometimes we find ourselves erecting different kinds of altars. Altars to ourselves, thinking them to be for God. Humility, says Spurgeon, is to have a right estimate of ourselves. Not to think less of ourselves than one ought to think. For then, he says, the higher a man is in grace, the lower will he be or should be in his own esteem. Again, he that places himself neither higher nor lower than he ought to do exercises the truest humility. There is in the saw, or in the Proverbs, we have many wonderful lessons. But one of the lessons that I think that shows or gives us a balance in our character is that which is found in the 30th chapter of the book of Proverbs, verse 8. And we'd like to read that. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but feed me with the food that is convenient for me. Now, this is King James. You might find a better translation in one of the other translations of the Bible. But the point is there is balance here, isn't there? And our balance should be along the line of humility. The opposite, we know what the opposites are, don't we, of humility. The opposite is pride, and the root of pride is selfishness. Split that word up three times, selfishness. Self-interest, self-confidence, self-help, self-importance, self-indulgence, self-loving. To have such a regard for one's own interests and advantages that happiness and the welfare of others becomes of less esteem than is considered right. And Jesus could have come right out to these disciples and laid it on the line, but he used an illustration. Why did he use the illustration of a child? Well, a child is of simple heart. A child is innocent. A child is harmless. And with most children, there is no great desire to be great. With adults, however, there is a propensity to play act. And the word for a play actor, a word for our Hollywood stars, is hypocrisy. It simply means to be a play actor. To have a veneer. To have a false front. But it is not that way with children. Children come into the world free from ambition. It is only taught as they grow. If they learn from their teacher's pride and ambition, then that is what they will, or that is what will come naturally to them. However, if the reverse is taught, humility, simplicity of action and thought, then a proper character will be built. And this is why the Lord could tell us, train up a child in the way he will go, and when he is mature, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22, verse 6. It is well known that early training secures a habitual walk. This necessitates yielding ourselves, as we find in 2 Chronicles 30, verse 8, and Romans 6, verses 12 and 13. Who was the lowliest of heart? Was it Peter? James? John? No, every one of us know that the one with the lowly heart was Jesus himself. We believe this is why the children sought Jesus out. He was straightforward with them. Children, by watching others, have a tendency to imitate. Proverbs 20, verse 11. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work is pure and whether it is right. By observing our Lord, are we imitating Him? 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul's recommendation, how we are being taught as obedient children, determines our whole life. A child is ready to acknowledge its lack of wisdom. We remember when Solomon was made king over Israel. He was a humble person at this time. He had a very humble opinion of himself, and he acknowledged his lack of wisdom. 1 Kings 3, verses 7 to 9. There we read how, O Lord, and now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out nor come in, and thy servant is in the midst of a people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. Who is able to judge this so great a people? That was Solomon's start. It's too bad that it didn't end that way. But Solomon didn't have what you and I have at that time. He didn't have the Holy Spirit to guide him. Yes, he had God's Spirit from what to say and the good that he could perform for his people, but he didn't have that same measure of understanding of right and wrong as you and I, but he learned as he went along. Now, the question for you and me is, and especially for myself, am I like Solomon? Have I acknowledged my lack of wisdom? Do I think of myself as a little child, dependent only upon God to be my guide? I should. James 1:5, that well-known scripture. You could probably, some of you are quoting it as I'm getting ready to quote it to you now. If any lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not. Yes, if you ask, it will be given to you. Now, a little child does something else. A little child seeks instruction. Maybe you didn't know that a child seeks instruction, but he does. Now, Solomon was not a child, but his opinion of himself was like a child at the beginning. He said, who am I that you would ask me to do this? How can I lead this people that you have arranged? In the opening words of the book of Proverbs, we find instruction worthy of all seeking the Lord. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, and to give subtlety to the simple, to the young, knowledge and discretion, and to the wise, and if so, the wise will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding will attain unto wise counsels. I think that as this book of Proverbs opens, all of us here would recognize the wonderful example that we need to have trained in ourselves. Just think of some of these things. If we perceive the words of understanding and receive the instruction of wisdom, and that wisdom is along the lines of justice, it's along the lines of judgment, it's along the lines of equity, and it's along the lines of discretion. That's what this word subtlety means here. Discretion or prudence. To do it simply. That simply means to have an open mind. Then you will become one of understanding and you will attain to all that is given to you of wise counsel. Again in Proverbs, the 4th chapter in verse 1. Children, hear the instructions of a father. Now every one of us here that have been spirit begotten have a father, the greatest father of all. There is no other father now for us. We have our heavenly Father. And so, children, that's what we should be. Hear the instructions of a father and attend to no understanding. No skipping school, in other words. Proverbs 13, verse 1, as we go on in this book. A wise man heareth his father's instruction. Now, that's what he says clear back in verse 1 of chapter 1. But a scorner heareth not rebuke. None of us want to be rebuked. But most of us need it from time to time. A child has confidence. Well, I wrote this wrong. Sometimes we write things down and we write them wrong. I'm going to say that a child has confident trust, or should have. Webster says of trust that it is a firm belief or confidence which is based upon another person or thing. Faith, reliance. When we think of this, a child has no reason to doubt the honesty of another unless shown indisputably that one is not trustworthy. The children of God have learned first of all to develop faith. That's what we're doing. From the very start, we're developing faith and confidence in God and in His Word and in His dealings with others. Unfortunately, for most adults, it becomes a show-me-first attitude. You remember one just like that? So do I. His name was Thomas. I will not believe unless you show me his hands and his side. So God did that. And in fact, he invited him to put his hand in his side and touch him and believe. Thomas, I don't think, did that, did he? But when God told him, when Jesus told him that, Thomas says, "My Lord, my God." "No, except I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." I hope that none of us have that little faith. It had been Thomas, when told of Lazarus' death and that the Lord was to go and raise him, said, "Let us go with him that we may die also." John 11:16. Now we are not to think that our faith must be a blind faith. No, faith that is not built upon confidence is poor at best. Thomas had been with the Lord like the other 11. He had seen the miracles that the Master had performed. He had heard Jesus say that he must die and be raised on the third day. Thomas and all the Lord's people should not have shallow faith, for this is displeasing to God. Hebrews 11:6. In Psalms 18:2 we read, "The Lord is my rock, he is my fortress, he is my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler, my horn of salvation, my high tower." Yes, it's the Lord that gives us the strength. It's the Lord who is teaching us daily, really, how little we are. How little we are. And you know, every one of us loves to sing that song. We didn't sing it today, but we could have. You know that one? "Oh, to be nothing, nothing." Yes. Now a little child trusts, doesn't he? Little in his own estimation of himself and his abilities. He has a right attitude. An Italian statesman, Benito Cavour, said, "The man who trusts men will make fewer mistakes than he who distrusts them." Now, to you and to me, that's blind. That almost like is like saying, "Well, if you don't trust somebody, or you should, because if isn't that blind faith?" Not really. We really should stop to think about who was it that made that statement. You probably can remember. I'm trying to think of a person who made the statement. There wasn't a man that I didn't like. Was that Will Rogers? I think it was Will Rogers. And it wasn't said in just that way, but the point is well taken, isn't it? Is that we should learn to trust before we learn to distrust. Horace Bushnell, an American clergyman, said, "Trust God for great things with your 5 loaves and 2 fishes because he will show you a way to feed thousands." This is a deep trust. A little children, we find in little children, obedience. "Ah," says one, "not all children are obedient." True. But this involves many things. I think we've learned more about disobedient children today, perhaps, than any. I read an article just recently that half of the American households are single-parent households. Single-parent households. So it depends mainly upon environment, background, and training. Little children, on the other hand, begin very innocently. They develop the traits that they will carry into maturity. 1 Samuel 15:22, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Well, we have only one person, well, two people, our Lord and the Heavenly Father, to trust implicitly and to develop this, to mature, help us to mature into the proper character that we should have. We have to realize that many of our traits are learned from childhood. And many of them must be unlearned. 1 Peter 1:14, be obedient, children, not passioning yourselves according to your former lusts and your ignorance. The Greek here, children of obedience, children to whom obedience is their characteristic and ruling nature. Yes, put away those tendencies contrary to the new nature. And all of us should be developing a new nature, a new attitude, a new way. We should have started with our begettal at whatever age to walk this line and this way. Ephesians 4:22-24, we must put off our former nature called the old man, which is corrupt because of deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Yes, it has to enter here and become part of us. Goes down, and what is finally developed will be shown to all. Be renewed by the spirit of our minds to put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true lowliness. True holiness, not lowliness. A child is guileless. A little child has no guile. Guile means to be crafty or deceitful. Evidently, those mature have a certain measure of guile. We read in 1 Peter 2:1-2, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn children, desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. Isn't that a wonderful admonition? How many of us really want to be a child again? Well, we should be in all of our actions, because as we have been fed, we will mature, and if we're following the right principles, we will mature into obedient children. Now, let's think about it for a moment. A newborn child begins life with milk. The purpose of this milk is to mature them or to start their growth properly. Hebrews 5:12-14. Later, one begins to assimilate the stronger food. And assuming that we are all out of harmony in one way or another, the apostle says that we should assume a childlike ambition, building upon the milk foundation, ridding ourselves of all human tendencies of carnality, And then in 1 Corinthians 3, 1-3, we are given a good example. And there we read, brethren, I speak to you from a spiritual sense. Not from a spiritual sense, that is, but from as carnal, even as babes in Christ. He was talking to the Hebrews here, I think, or to the Corinthian brethren at that time. He was talking to them. And he said that he had fed them with milk and not meat because they were unable to assimilate the stronger truths. And then he said to them, and it was kind of harsh for him to say it, but he said they were yet carnal. He says, there is among you envying, strife, and divisions. He says, don't you see that these things are carnal, fleshly? That you walk as other men? And you could say, well, actually we should change that a little bit and say that you walk as those who do not have the Spirit that you have. Now we see a very valuable lesson in this for all of us. Are we mature and yet carnal? Do we have envyings and strife amongst ourselves? Do we have factions? Indeed we do, brethren. Indeed we do. And as the apostle invokes, then let us be as little children, emptied of all malice, greed, and strife. Let us see to it that we have no guile. Let there be no deceit amongst ourselves or with any others. In our Lord bringing this illustration to our minds of a little child, he wants us to rid ourselves of all self-seeking. And he said, if you don't develop like this, you will not be of the kingdom of God. That's serious, isn't it? Because every one of us here wants to be in God's kingdom. Therefore, we must be obedient. Humility is ever important as a character trait. Yes, likewise, you younger, 1 Peter 5:5 and 6, submit yourselves unto the elder, for all of you should be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. We'd like to close our thoughts with Matthew 18, 3 and 4. Unless you be converted and become as little children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Let us develop humility and the right spirit for this will make us more than overcomers.
Little children. Thank you, Brother Carlton.
Brother Carlton will close and let us reassemble ourselves again at 5 o'clock. Be ready to hear the discourse by our dear brother, Leo Post. All right, Brother Carlton.
Again, our loving Heavenly Father, we humbly bow our heads and hearts before thy throne of grace, in and through the name of Jesus, our beloved Savior. Thankful to be here at Asilomar for another year,
thankful to have the fellowship of the dear brethren, thankful to have the messages of hope and truth brought to our ears, and help us, dear Father, with all of this, to walk more carefully in the footsteps of our beloved Lord and Savior Jesus. We're thankful for his great sacrifice, not for us only, but for all the world of mankind. And so we pray, Father, thy kingdom soon come, and thy will be done on this earth, as your will is being done in heaven. Continue to guide us, feed us, watch over us, and finally accept of us. In Jesus' name, amen.